Good morning.
11:04 a.m. on, what is it? It's Thursday, October the 17th, 2017. Now, October the 17th, 2019. Whew. Numbers. Having trouble with my numbers this morning. So, yesterday was, it was a busy day. I had a CIFRA meeting at the afternoon. I spent a lot of the morning fiddling about with the presentation I was going to give for BWA, which I did last night. BWA is the Boulder Writers Alliance? Boulder Writers Association? I don't know, BWA.org. I met up with a colleague for dinner beforehand. We had a lovely chat. I'm really looking forward to introducing you to her work because it's pretty cool. Assuming that she actually gets it published. Having a lot of thinky thoughts about the Nebula Awards. In large part because it's a big portion of what I have to do with CIFRA. And it's tough because I can't really talk about what I'm thinking about because it's covered by the NDAs. It's kind of a pain. But I spent a certain amount of time yesterday and today, way too much time, discussing the Nebula Awards and the place where indies have or don't, depending on your point of view. I've always been skeptical of awards. Well, not always, because there was a time when I thought awards really helped. And then I won a few. And now I grant you that they aren't the same caliber award as, say, a Nebula. But I did win 2 Parsec Awards. And that was nice being recognized because I knew the process was rigorous and was actually based on a jury of peers who evaluated the crop, the eligible titles, and gave a lot of measured consideration to how that happened. And to compare that to the Hugos, I'm not going to compare it to the Nebulas because NDA, but compare that to the Hugos, where more science fiction people probably know about Hugos than podcast people at the time knew about Parsec Awards. But the Hugo Awards are always, always, always plagued by some kind of scandal. And of course, CIFRA is pure as the driven snow, never been a victim of scandal or graded it on their own. But my perception of awards is that they're nice, they give you a warm, fuzzy feeling for a day or two, and then you really have to kind of put them down and go back to work. I still have my Parsec Awards, but I don't have them on my desk anymore. Oh, speaking of my desk, I got the planner yesterday. The Corinne O'Flynn special from Lulu finally arrived. PC Herring got his yesterday before I got out for my walk. He was talking about it. It's huge. And it's huge. Yeah, it's really big. It's a full sheet. It's 8.5 by 11 size. And Spiral Bound, which I adore. I have to reorganize my desk now to make room for it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll find something. But it's just too cool for school. I got to figure out. I got to put some notes in for the last couple of months of the quarter. November is going to be easy because November is NaNoWriMo. November is Barbarian Book 1. I'm hoping December is going to be Barbarian Book 2. Let's see how that works out. And that leaves January for Barbarian Book 3. And February for something else. But I need to give some serious noodle time to... Okay, I can do 5K a day for 20 days in a row for November, because it's just November. It's 5 hours of work a day. Which is less than I would be tied up if I were in an office. But more than I seem to be willing to invest in my own work lately. And then there's the gestation time. It's like, okay, I have these three stories that are sort of pinging around in my head. What do I write after those? Assuming I manage to kick them off. Assuming I manage to actually put in the hours, the writing, the words, get them paid for through editing and covers. I'm not being held up by cover design or editing backlog or anything. Assuming all of that flows, what do I write after that? I don't know. It's why. On the one hand, it's terrifying. On the other hand, it's wonderful because it opens up all kinds of new possibilities. It might mean that I get back into Ishmael's world before 2021. It might mean, in spite of the fact that I'm going back to, in Barbarians, I'm going back to Tanith Fairport's universe. I'm not going back to Tanith Fairport. So maybe the opportunity to go in and write another Tanith Fairport adventure, which would be kind of fun. I've been discussing the possibility of going into Lit RPG. RPG Lit. I always thought it was Lit RPG, but maybe I've got it backwards. I've had everything else backwards, so I'm not going to sweat it. So there's a possibility that I could actually... If I could get the discipline, if I could get the consistency, if I could get the numbers up and still put out the kinds of books that I want to put out, then that opens doors for me to write on a wider front, which is something that Glenn Stewart is doing. We haven't talked about it, not directly, but sort of indirectly. We've had conversations about it. And he's got an advantage in that he has a support staff. Full time. It's their job to do the support staff work. And it's like, okay, for my process, what does that look like? And we're talking one or two or three books a year. It's not really cost effective. But I think he's doing six. Okay, if I was just going to focus on writing, what would that free me up to do? What would I need somebody else to do for me that would free up the time that would otherwise be chewed up in production, or what? I don't know. I certainly don't need anybody to manage my Amazon account. That doesn't take any time. I need to go back and make sure that I picked up September's number. Speaking of that, it's already the 16th. I'm pretty sure I did, but brain, not so much. Is this running? Yes, it is. Okay, 9:38. No, that's not the time. That's the recording mark. Okay. So it's an interesting question. Does that leverage him some to be able to write more, to to think more, to plan more, to plot more, to do other things by having people who take the final draft and move it on into editing and production, who are tracking the covers while the book's being written. I'd really like having all the covers for a series before I start writing, but that hasn't happened. It's not going to happen for Barbarian. I'm going to get tied up on that, I'm pretty sure. Get ready, sit with me. Monk post. Here comes a lady with a cute little dog. Good morning. Good morning. Planner. It's a brand new planner. Nothing's gone wrong with it yet. It hasn't been screwed up. And the possibilities are just bouncing around in my head, the kinds of things that I might be able to do. The For the Words tool is really getting interesting. One of the things that you have to do to maintain your streak is 444 words a day. And when I left here yesterday, I only had like 244, 250, something like that. And when I got home last night at 9 o'clock and got done catching up with email and dealing with Sifu and all the rest of that, it was already like 10, almost 10:30. And I still had 200 words to go to make my numbers for the day. And the numbers are only 444 words. It's like 15 minutes work. Total. And yet, because of the way the challenges are structured, I only did one challenge yesterday morning and then went off to work on something else. One quest. So I started writing and realized that I actually didn't have another quest running. So I had to go grab a quest real quick and then go back and finish writing until I satisfied the quest, which also satisfied my word count for the day, which kept my sprint alive. So one of the interesting things that comes from that is the mechanic of motivation, where I get little wins. So a 250 word win. Yay. Even though it's only like, almost literally 5 minutes. No, not really. It's closer to 10, probably. But I'm given 20 to do it. So it's like I'm beating the clock handily. Yay me. The amount of time allowed is ludicrous. But that doesn't stop me from celebrating it. And the notion that I could pick up other quests. So I have to kill so many monsters. I need to get the drops from so many different monsters. If you're a gamer, you know that when you kill a mob, they drop stuff. It could be money. It could be equipment. You always get a little experience. And that the more you play, the more experience you have, the more experience you gain, the more money you get, the better equipment. And so you're constantly leveling up something. You're leveling up your skills, you're leveling up your bank account, you're leveling up your equipment, which lets you fight bigger things. I suspect everybody knows how this works. I'm not going to go any further down that road. But the game is, there are global quests where I have a mainline quest where I'm supposed to work myself through this area of the map. But I have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, and I have no idea how many steps to get there. And then once I'm off this map, I'll start another map with maybe different monsters and different goals. But there's a global set of global quests. So 10 monsters a day. You get to pick the monsters. They can be really short ones. They can be really long ones. But there's a quest for 10 monsters a day. And if I do 10 monsters a day, and each monster is 500 words, that's 5,000 words. And so doing the monster quest keeps me focused on, okay, well, I gotta finish this. I started this quest. It's 150 words, and I can't stop, because if I stop, the clock still runs. And then I fail the quest because I haven't killed a monster in the amount of time I need. So in a lot of ways, they're sort of sprint-like. Although, as I said, the time limits are ridiculous. So there's a daily quest of 10 monsters a day. There's a weekly quest that you can actually pick up every 72 hours. And I think that's 20 monsters, which would basically be 2 days worth. So if I was going to commit to 5,000 words a day and do 10 monsters at 500 each over the course of the day, that would be a weekly quest every 2 days. And I could pick up a new weekly quest on the third day. So I would be kicking off running beside 3 or 4 quests at a time and gaining all of these endorphin hits, dopamine hits, whatever it is, the little pleasure center stimulation things where, woohoo, I did it. I celebrate, I level up, I think I'm level 4 now, or level 3 anyway, because I've earned enough experience to be level 3, because I've killed enough monsters and earned enough experience to level up my avatar, Rasha, and that's actually the name of my Skyrim character at the moment. Russia with Bosmer. Sneaky mage. Awesome skills in crafting. It's so much fun to play because it's like I don't have to worry about, well, I do get killed still pretty regularly, but it's usually because I've screwed up something. But that's the thing. That's the gamification factor. That's the scaffolding. And oddly, this leads back to one of my colleagues in education. We spent a lot of time talking, designing, building educational experiences, and talking about things like zone of proximal development and scaffolding and cognitive apprenticeships and all of those things that are really techie terms for education nerds. And I had so much fun teaching zone of proximal development to 6th graders. That's a different, I'll save that for a different day. So she's thinking about getting into some fiction to help offset the sometimes stifling academic regime. And she's been in it as long as I have, and she didn't lose her job in 2012. She's kicking butt taking names. She's doing really well. She's also like 40 years younger. But she contacted me a little while ago. I talked about maybe going to doing a little writing fiction. She wanted to know how I transitioned, how I'd come out as a writer. It's funny the use of those terms in this context. But I sent her the For the Words link and said, I thought of you instantly because of the scaffolding that's going on here and the gamification. I thought you'd find it interesting. She apparently looked at it yesterday, sent me a reply back. And yeah, she did find it interesting. Oh, anyway, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.